Very good.
And on that note, I want to welcome everybody to the world according to that man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to thank everybody that's going to be rambling and ranting, and that will be
ramble
downloading.
Ramble on.
That's exactly right. That will be listening to the show.
I saw. Ramble on.
That will be listening to the show at a later date. And I want to remind everybody, please go to our Rumble channel and subscribe to Ben Stein. And of course, we're joined tonight by regular contributors, Gary Collins from thesimplelifenow.com. If you go to his site right now, you could hear an amazing conversation that Gary and Judah had. And I don't know if it's about anything or if it's about nothing. But give it a listen, simplelifenow.com. And of course, from 93.1 WIBC, BAM, the president of Conservative Talk Radio, Rob Kendall. And yes, Rob.
I just need Kansas to put on that four corners offense for this final 342.
How did I know that was coming? And of course, this show wouldn't be complete without actor, writer, provocateur, saint, sinner, lover, father, grandfather, husband, mathematician, statistician, and mathematician, but most importantly, Dr. Benjamin Jeremy Stein.
I'm doing surgery on myself today.
I wish I could.
Try to take away from me the fear I have for this country under Biden and Kamala Harris.
We will be getting to a ton of that. And I'd like to thank everybody that's constantly been asking in the comments how I'm doing. I still do have COVID.
Let's have a moment of prayer for Judith.
Thank you. Okay. But I really do appreciate everybody inquiring, and especially Rob and Gary inquiring, and everybody that listens to the show in Rock Breath, and everybody, and of course Ben and my parents. On that note, welcome to the world according to Ben Stein. Ben, I'm calling it tonight's episode "The Hearings to Nowhere," because if I have to watch, there's no greater theater than watching Rand Paul go after Fauci, but nothing comes of it. This guy is still in the same position 2 years later, no repercussions. We have tons of emails suggesting what he did know or what he didn't know, and nothing, Ben. And as you well know, in that swamp, nobody gets fired. And it's embarrassing watching it's a sham. It's a sham.
It's a sham, but I hate to say it, it's more of a sham perhaps than you're even suggesting, because the sham is that Fauci, that poor mortal human being, he's no more than that, thought he could defeat an incredibly clever virus, either made by nature or made by
Fauci.
Or made by the Chinese, the world's champion gene slicers. So the idea that he gave the impression that we could defeat it is really amazing. You know, it reminds me.
Can I say something quickly? Yeah, that would be a great competition at the Olympics in China, gene slicing, but go on.
How about this? How many of us, we old men, remember things? How many of us remember when this thing, COVID started, Dr. Fauci said, 2 weeks, 2 weeks, and we'll flatten the curve. 2 weeks. Has anyone ever made a more wrong prediction? What would we have done if an admiral of the fleet of the U.S. Navy had, after Pearl Harbor, said, 2 weeks, and we'll have those Japs eating our dust?
You're completely right. It's more than being completely right, Gary. He's been wrong about every single. He's not Jonas Salk, okay? It's not like they said, you know, we got this really bad thing. Get Salk on the line. You know,
is Salk living?
No. But I'm trying to think of one of the most recent famous ones, people I could think of. But Gary, this guy's been wrong about everything, especially with the AIDS epidemic, predicting in the 90s we'd have a vaccine. Who thought in their right mind, world's about to have a pandemic? Get this sickle on the line.
The sickle? Who's the sickle?
That's what Fauci means in Italian, in Sicilian. No, it means sickle.
That's very funny. That's very, very funny. The sickle. Get the sickle on the line. Well, it's really sad. I mean, I don't know how many of you saw yesterday's Wall Street Journal that had a story that the the trifecta virus, or whatever it's called, the newest Omicron variant, it does not seem to respond to any of the vaccines or the booster. So that whole effort, possibly, I'm not sure, was just completely a waste.
And Gary, I know you share my sentiments, because I know you were watching the hearings and you're watching all these different hearings going on, and you know nothing matters. Nothing is going to, no matter how much evidence, and you have Fauci going after Rand Paul and paraphrasing him, basically saying Rand Paul has brought death threats upon Fauci, his family. And this is coming from Rand Paul, who got the crap kicked out of him by his next door neighbor. But Fauci has kicked the crap out of the country, and I'm not going to call for any violence or any metaphors.
Never.
Gary, I got to be honest, he'd be a hard guy to be in a room with right now, Fauci. Gary is freezing up, so we'll go to Rob.
I will not freeze up. I will always deliver for this good. Show.
That's very good. That's very good. That's very good. That's very funny. That's very funny.
The issue is
very, very funny. That's very funny. I like that. Okay, Jeff, a fucking moth just flew in here. Let's get rid of that.
Okay, Rob.
He's a shapeshifter. He can always be whatever he needs to be in whatever room he's in or whoever he's in front of, whether it's he's infallible, he's a victim, whatever. He always is able to move and maneuver because he's given cover by the left and he's given cover by the mainstream media, which no matter how often he's caught in lies or hypocrisies or whatever else, he's always given cover. So the guy can literally never be held accountable for anything.
Yeah, but you know what? Yeah. It's a heart. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Ben, go ahead.
As my wonderful wife, the world's finest human being, would say, it's heart-rendering. Because even if he were a good guy, even if he were a really, really smart guy, what could he say? He could say, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. The gene slicers or Mother Nature really did it to us this time. And it may well be that's all he could say. But that would have the virtue of being the truth.
Can I say something? You raise a really good point just now, Ben, without realizing it, Gary. Because if that would have been the theory they were working on from the beginning, or the hypothesis that we don't know what's going on, let's get involved with every single human that knows how to do this stuff alive. Let's take everybody's suggestions. Let's not call them fringe. Let's not call them crazy. Let's take every genius in our society that is splicer, is a whatever it is, Gary. We might be a year ahead of the game, but because everybody in that room knew what they were talking about, we're probably 2 years now behind the game.
Oh, we're definitely behind the game, but they really don't care. I mean, this was just a perfect virus for a perfect storm, is what it boils down to. It played into their hands perfectly. This is a gift. This is a pure gift, and they're going to play it till the end. They're playing it now, and would you say that 22% of Californians have
at least 22% of Californians have COVID?
And California is one of the most highly vaccinated states. It's California and New York, right?
It's also one of the most mandated states. So yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they're about, I just don't get it. It's you have people who have not practiced medicine for decades telling you what to do about a virus that they more than likely helped create through their funding and their backdoor channels, and now you're going to pay for it. And Rahm Emanuel said, "No, let no crisis go to waste."
The problem is, Ben, the crisis, they can't control it. And I've referred to this as a controlled burn. And in the beginning, for people that are not familiar with the term, it's control. You control a fire and you get the woods out and all that stuff. I believe that with the left, they thought they could do a control burn. With COVID, Ben Stein, they thought they could do a control burn. and the animals are out and the virus is out and there is no more control burned. And people keep on saying to me, oh, well, you'll be immunized. Yeah, thank you, against COVID. And I'm like, how do you know? I should have been anyways, man, right?
Well, exactly right. We don't know how the thing operates. And I am reminded of two historical stories, because I'm called upon, I think, for my historical recollections. At one point, Mr. Nixon was talking about...
they're not historical if you live through them, so your life lessons.
God bless you, sir. Mr. Nixon was saying that he... something about they just didn't know what to do about the second round of inflation during his administration. And he said, honesty, we should just tell people we don't know what to do. Honesty is may not be the best policy, but it's worth trying once in a while. We could tell that to Mr. Biden. That wouldn't mean anything. I don't know if you know. I very, very much doubt if he knows what words mean at this point. Second.
Well, he never did know about that with honesty.
Yeah, I don't think so. Exactly. Second, when the Nazis captured Paris in a blitzkrieg that no one could have imagined possible, most of the French people said, the French leaders said, well, this is it. We're going to have to learn to live under the Nazis forever now. And Charles de Gaulle, who had many faults, to be sure, but was also a very brave man, said, my comrades, we're going to face a prolonged struggle. He didn't say whether they were going to win, but he said they would face a prolonged struggle. And I think that would be a very useful thing for Mr. Biden and Mrs. Harris and Mrs. Pelosi to say, comrades, we face a prolonged struggle.
Yeah, you know,
that's got to be honest. It's just, we just don't know what the end of this is.
Rob, he raises a really good point. So did Gary. But the point of what, and we've been speaking about this, is this isn't in their vernacular. It's not in their vocabulary to say, we don't know. We're pivoting. We're switching course. Something is askew, Rob. Your points aren't going to come up tonight. They have zero ability, Rob, to say what Ben just said. We're going to get through this together. We were wrong. We missed the mark. We've missed the mark. And we as a country, we as a world need to really think about this stuff, Rob.
Well, the problem they have is they won an election based on the idea that COVID is going to kill you if you're exposed to it. The only way to not be exposed to it is a complete lockdown of society. And in a complete lockdown of society, because that's not fair because you can't stand in line to vote, everyone must have mass mail-in unaccountable voting. It's how they won the presidential election.
Very good. I love that.
Amongst other things. The problem they have now is society, and I talked about this today on the air, society has opted out of COVID. There's a new AP poll out that says only 37% of Americans listed as one of their top five biggest concerns. 53% of the population last year listed it as the top concern. The economy is overwhelmingly number one, 68%.
I'm sorry, what's the source for that again, please?
The Associated Press, they did a poll. Wow.
So startling, because the economy is roaring along for most people, but the COVID is just hopeless, a hopeless catastrophe.
Well, but that's the thing. The economy is not, I love you more than life itself, Ben, but the economy is not rolling for a lot of people. A lot of people are super scared about the economy right now because of the supply issues and the inability to get things and these businesses that can't get workers. It's a huge concern.
And not to mention inflation.
But there is the employment picture is very, very, very strong. And that is the usual concern, but I agree. Inflation is a real concern.
You're talking about something. It's two separate things. We know that people aren't going back to work to take those jobs. Take that out of the picture. You're right. If people were to go to work, the employment thing would be the rosiest ever. People aren't, whatever reason. But the inflation thing, Ben, is, I mean, as you all know, it's absolutely stunning. There, people are cheering on the left when gas prices go down by a cent. And people are really up Schitt's Creek. And I would love to see the study, because Ben, my question about that type of study is, have people just given up on COVID? which is
I guess what we're sort of driving at is the government seems to have given up, so maybe we should all just give up too. Yeah. But that seems like such an irresponsible attitude. I mean, I just before I walked into my room here in front of the computer, I heard on the radio that we had something like 30,000 new cases in LA in one day. But the overwhelming majority of those are not fatal. I mean, almost none are fatal. Almost none are fatal. But interesting thing, something you and we all have discussed many times on this show, is that COVID is a kind of a totally false name. The great majority of people who are admitted to hospitals and then die with COVID did not die of COVID. And a very large percentage of those who are admitted and called COVID cases are not COVID cases, are something else. They have some other disease, but they might also have COVID. So those statistics have always been fraudulent.
No, yeah, Rob.
Well, I was just going to wrap up the point on this, that the Democrats have created this investment in their voters who wanted the lockdowns. And the problem now is the voters are putting economy first and foremost. Politico had an article about this today about how Democrat governors in swing states like Colorado and Kansas and Kentucky are having a big issue because their union and the people that are traditional, the Democrat radical left stronghold people, are very upset that they're saying, hey, we got to be open. We can't have all these special concessions. They've made this bed, and the only way out of it is to open up the economy and get things back to normal. But that alienates a huge group of people who are invested in their lockdown shutdown mentality.
Can I be honest? I don't even think Gary and I'll get there. I think they messed up so badly. When you put all your eggs in the hate Trump basket,
the hate basket,
and that's how you won. You won by mail-in ballot, as we all know, we all believe here, the fraud, or Rob still call it the jelly beans. But when you put all your shit in one basket, and that guy promised you he'd bring the country back together, he'd shut down the virus, he basically he'd shut down the riots and and all this race stuff, and everybody in America right now is looking at it going, we're racialized, we have inflation, Trump's gone, and you guys have sold us a bill of goods, man.
Yeah, you guys have sold us a bill of goods. This is true for on a non-racial basis. On my way out here today, we stopped to get gasoline. I thought I must be misreading the sign for the price per gallon of gasoline. I just could not believe that was the real price. And I thought to myself, you know what? That's the price for Black people, too. That's the price for white people. It's the price for Asians. It's the price for Hispanics. Mm-hmm. It's the price for women. It's the price for non-binary. He hasn't done a thing about that. And he can't do a thing about that. And America's problems can't be solved by blaming everything on the white man and saying it's the Black man as a victim. You can't solve every problem by doing that.
Oh, yes, you can.
The Democrats have tried that. Yeah. They won an election by doing that. I don't think they're going to win another one.
Yeah, what is gas out there? What's it cost?
A lot.
Jeff, what did we just pay for gas on the way out here?
It's about $4.50. It's about $4.80
a gallon.
You're getting ninety.
I think we paid $6.33 a gallon.
Yeah, it's and that's so, in that. That
were you? Did you stop out? You're outside of L.A., right? You were on your
Malibu,
way
in Malibu.
In Malibu, wow.
Yeah, and it's an extremely like expensive gas station. Here. It's a gas station that there's not like. If you go 20 miles past, or there's it's got a good distance. But Gary, getting back to this before I want to switch to the other topic, they don't have anything, and I don't believe it's working. I believe if you look at the polling, Trump is whatever you want to say, whoever since Trump is the ballot, let's go by Trump being the ballot. He pretty much has tied the Latino vote today, according to Rasmussen.
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
He's pretty, there's a 3% gap, and he's up to about 27% in the Black community. Because what Ben just said is really important. Gas doesn't know color.
Well, okay? Not only that, but that's why they're pivoting. You see why they're starting to pivot now to the voter laws. Now they know they've lost the main battle because COVID's going to fizzle out on them, and people are COVID out. They're done. They've had enough, except for the sick Karens and Kens out there who love it because they've been able to work at home for 2 years and no one knows that they're even employed. I heard from an insider there that there's people in the government that some people haven't seen literally in 2 years.
They're getting full pay.
And they just disappear. But that's why now they're saying, we were talking about this earlier, Judah. I mean, the ID thing is such a farce. Like I said, who are the two people who lack ID primarily? Dead people and illegal immigrants. Those are the people who lack ID. That's where they're going. They know that. It has nothing to do with the actual registered voter.
And that's going to be my next topic of conversation. Yeah. And if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to thank everybody that's in the Rumble rants. I am trying to read your rants, and it's greatly appreciated. I want to thank everybody. Remind everybody, benstein.substack.com. Also, if you're listening to the show via podcast, give us that 5-star review. And please go to Ben Stein on Rumble and watch us. Do both. You could cross-promote. And you could also watch Rob Kendall from 9 to noon every day on 93.1 WIBC. Bam, the president of Conservative Talk Radio. And, of course, Gary Collins from thesimplelifenow.com. I want to tell you something very interesting. Every guest gets a different compliment. It's really interesting. And, you know,
you get a compliment of being a man of steel, the Lou Gehrig of news, to be doing this while you have COVID.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. And it all means a lot. It's very appreciative. And Ben, I want to get something to the next topic because it's incomprehensible what Biden said today. And
thank God for me. Thank God, my lucky stars, I didn't see what he said today.
Biden warned of a stark dichotomy between the proponents and opponents of the Democrats' election law, dubbed the John Lewis Voting Rights Act. Of course, asking a crowd in Atlanta on Tuesday whether they wanted to be on the side of Dr. King or former governor of Alabama.
Ah, is that my hero?
Yeah.
Is that my hero?
Well, you know, it was Biden's hero, too. Biden always loved it.
Oh, boy. You know, when I heard Biden talking today about what a bad thing the filibuster was, I thought, you fool. Don't you think we remember you were always on the side of the filibuster? You were a filibuster for 30 or 40 years.
So, to the bigger point, either you're for Dr. King, and I could promise you Dr. King would have been, I could almost promise you Martin Luther King would have been for voting rights and voter ID, or you're George Wallace. That's where we are as a country, Ben Stein.
Well, but this goes back to what I've been saying on this show, and what we've all been saying, I think, which is the Democrats' goal is to, as to use a wonderful phrase that our wonderful friend Gary just used, to racialize this country, to make this country divide along racial lines. This country was founded upon an original sin, and the sin was slavery. It was commonplace all around the world. It was still evil and a sin. We had it for way too long. And after it was ended by the bloodshed of the white man, not the bloodshed of the black man, but bloodshed of the white man, we still subjugated the black man in too many parts of the country in too horrible ways. It ended also with the blood of white men and some black men too, some very brave black men, wonderful black men. Now, the Democrats want to dig it up. It was buried by the blood of the decent people of this country. The Democrats want to dig up the ghoul of racism and have it rise again and terrorize America.
He's extremely right, Gary. I don't even understand. I mean, I do understand what they're doing because, as we've discussed, they have nothing else to run on. But who in that audience?
They go run on hate.
Run on hate. But who in that? I mean, is there not a person, a normal person, that's going to look and say in the media, are you on something, you fucking psycho, excuse my language, you psychotic ass.
Oh my God, you use that language.
Gary, it's mind boggling that people could get away with it. Either you're for Martin Luther King or you're for George Wallace.
Yeah, it's insane. And that's what their spiel is, insanity.
But George Wallace, by the way, turned towards the end of his career, became very pro African-American and got the huge majority of the African-American vote in Alabama.
Means nothing to them, but sorry, Gary.
Those facts, they just don't like them.
Yeah.
But that's the thing is they know, like you said, they have nothing to run on. And their thing has been racial divide for a very long time now. And I have to give them credit. It's working. Yeah. It's working.
It's working. And Gary, our dear, dear friend, it's working in an evil way. It's working and it's getting them elections. It is a subversive in terms of the future of this great country.
And Rob, I really hate cursing. It's not my shtick. It's not my ball, a cup of wax or whatever. But it's
a
so
cup of tea is usually what they say. It's a rare person who drinks a cup of wax.
But I do. It's a kink of mine. But Rob, it's so infuriating, and I'm sure. When your callers call you up screaming, this must be something that gets at them, Rob. This racialized nation, it must just drive them crazy, especially in a place like where you come from, where I would imagine there's less haves and have nots, and most people
fewer,
might be in the
fewer,
same boats.
Fewer.
Thank you, Mrs.
Love
whatever.
It. Love
but Rob, what say you?
Well, so Mock was out today because she was at the national championship game. She's a gigantic Georgia fan, and had my good friend Abdul.
They had quite a day.
They were having all sorts of fun at Lucas Oil Stadium on Monday night. So we had Abdul Kib Shabazz, who's an attorney here. He runs a political website. Was the fill-in host, and we talked about this about how racist it is for the Democrat Party to, because Abdul is black, and we talked about how racist it is to say how that you are too, black people are too stupid to get an ID. I mean, how insulting and racist that is to every black person to say, well, voting laws in which require ID, well, it disenfranchises black people.
So what does he say to it?
We've been saying that. We Republicans have been saying that all along. And lots of African-American black people have been saying the same thing. It's the exact same thing as school busing, which that horror of horrors Maxine Waters was pushing for a large part of her evil life, to say black people are too stupid to learn unless they're sitting next to white people. What are you telling me that people that Martin Luther King couldn't learn even if he was sitting next to another black person? Are you kidding?
So Rob, like, how does Abdul respond to people? Because it must be to him just so, he must get so livid with the idea that a majority of his own people all have regular ID, Rob, that they are being lumped together as this idiotic group that for some reason, and people believe it, they don't have driver's license, they don't have, you know, black people don't fly. You know, that's pretty much what they're saying, Rob.
What?
Well, he
remember, you need ID to get on an airplane, Ben. And going by their metrics, there'd be no black people in airplanes, Rob.
Well, he made a good point, which is that polling shows that black people want voter ID because black people, like every other colored person in this country, want free and fair elections in which votes count and can be calculated. Here's what's interesting, though, because you mentioned the polling with Trump. And I talked about this on the show today. How the Democrats are the party of division. They thrive on putting they thrive on putting people in corners and saying you're marginalized because of whatever it is, race, sex, whatever. And the only way for you to get ahead is for government to either through money or public policy or whatever to lift you up. And I think what you're seeing with Hispanic voters is over the past 2 years, it's all been about how America is racist, but they focused almost solely on how America is racist against black people. And I think the Hispanic voters are looking around going, what the hell is going on here? For all these years when you were using us to help win elections, we were the darlings, and now we've just been cast aside. We've got the same problems everybody else does, and now you don't care about us at all, where the people like Trump are saying, you can be better. You can have a better life. Here's the economic engine, the economic tools, if you will work hard, which many many. And I think you're seeing it in the polling.
And I think what the Democrat leaders are saying to themselves is, at some point, the Asian population of America is going to overwhelm in numbers the African American population, and people are going to, the Asian Americans are going to say, wait a second, we didn't get here through welfare, we didn't get here through handouts, we didn't get here through burning down stores, we didn't get here through robbery and rape, we got here through hard work. And we're not going to make it easy for other people to get ahead without doing some work too. As I've told you on this show many times, I had the great privilege and honor of working under Bob Bartley at the Wall Street Journal, a great, great man and a great conservative. And he used to say, when the Asians take over, they're not going to be passing out goodies to people who don't work.
Can I just say something about this topic, though?
Because yeah, of course. Please say anything you want.
Well, we talked about Trump earlier, and I had a conversation with two suburban women who both voted for Trump tonight. And they said the same thing, and it's something that we've talked about a lot on our show, which is Trump, if he is going to be the nominee, has got to step up his game in terms of his professionalism, how he handles himself, and how he deals with people as a collective. Because both of these women said the same thing. I'm dreading having to vote for this guy again because of the way he handled himself.
Well, look, good point, Rob. And Ben, to Rob's point, Trump did something I was extremely impressed by, that he did. He decided to cancel his January 6th press conference and instead have the rally. Somebody must have gotten in his ear and said, let them do this. Let it be, get out of the way, this January 6th. You know, day of memorial for not, you know, for nothing. Ashley Babbitt, and somebody must have said, don't do it. And he listened. He actually, I was extremely impressed, Rob and Gary, that he actually did listen.
Well, but so this was what it comes down to, is that the country hates Biden. They are looking for a reason to put Republicans back in charge. And with a guy like Ron DeSantis, and this is a conversation, there were a group of us there, and this is a conversation we had. With a guy like Ron DeSantis, you would get all the Trump policies, which are good, which everybody at the table agreed are good, but with 90% less drama, which is good, or Kristi Noem or whoever. So if Trump is going to be the nominee, if he's going to put it on himself to run again, he owes it to every single person who voted for him the last time and wants to vote for him again or work for him or help him to step up his game. That means no talking about Omika Brzezinski is bleeding badly from a facelift or Stormy Daniels' horse face. He has an obligation to be able to be somebody that you can be proud to promote and that can win these swing votes that'll make all the difference.
I think that's a brilliant point.
Yeah, I know, but Ben, he does raise a really good point, but I got to say, and we've discussed this, God, I miss those days sometimes. I miss him too, but I think he's right. I miss the levity a little bit. I've said this before, the guy's gone broke. The guy's lost almost everything. Quite a few times. He has learned from his mistakes. The fact that on January 6th, he decided not to speak was, to me, growth, Ben Stein.
And I think it's growth, but I think what we want is a gentleman. We want a gentleman. We want a guy who's got strong views, good policies, proud to be an American, not a racist. The Democrats are the party of racism. We don't want it. We want a man who loves America and loves all the races of America. But he can be a gentleman, too. And I think that's going to be Trump. And I think your point, Rob, is absolutely brilliant. He's got to step up his game as a professional and as a gentleman.
And Gary, as I've said oftentimes, the greatest gift for Trump was that he isn't on social media. I don't agree with the reasons why he's being banned from Twitter, considering they let the Ayatollahs on, but
and the Nazis,
you're right, and whoever else, Tom, Dick, and Harry. But of course, Project Veritas and Trump gets censored, and then you got Will Hurd, this jackass from former congressperson from Texas, saying it's a good idea. Yeah, it's a great idea, but it's very helpful for Trump not to be on social media platforms right now.
Well, and he doesn't even have to do much. Don't you agree, Ben? All he has to do is sit back and let whoever runs dig their ditch.
Yeah, sit in the basement. Do the sit in the basement strategy.
Occasionally come out and say, I love America. Yep. I love this country. I love people of every race. I love men and women. And I love people who work for a living. I love people who obey the law. And I love the police. And does not have to make jokes about people's appearance. I'm not sure how many people he won over by making jokes about people's appearance. I think he certainly alienated some Republicans by making so many jokes about the Bush family. I know that Judah and I have very strong differences about the Bush family, but I don't
think... Yeah, I believe they belong in prison.
So then we do have very, very strong...
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I want to see him behave like a gentleman. I'd like to see him behave... I'm old, so I remember Dwight Eisenhower. Dwight Eisenhower was a man of very strong opinions. He beat the Nazis, and I would like to see a man with his strength and gentlemanliness.
Yeah, and you know, and I will say this. You know what? I'd rather a guy that calls somebody a horse face than somebody that gets our troops maimed and killed in Iraq
he can do both.
Over non-existent weapons of mass destruction. Every time Liz Cheney on this January 6th commission talks about shit, you know what? Your father's a fucking murderer. But on that note, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein, not Judah Friedman. And those are my opinions on the Cheneys and the Bushes. I'm sorry I have them, and I used to be supporters of them. But I had to open up my eyes and realize what was going on, Ben Stein, and I'm sorry for that.
Well, I love that, but
and okay, I remember, like I said to you, I'm not knocking him. There's a difference between him and your interpersonal relationships and the mess that he caused in our society.
He made terrible mistakes. God bless him. He made terrible mistakes. I'd like to see us take part of him, which is the extraordinary gentlemanliness of him and his family. And I would like to take that, and I would like to meld it with the strength of character of our Mr. Trump.
Okay, I have to change the subject because I don't know how to respond to that. I don't know if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. We're joined by Gary Collins from SimpleLifeNow.com. Download his podcast, especially today's. And of course, Rob Kendall from 93.1 WIBC. Bam, the president of conservative talk radio, Rob Kendall.
Not one, but two F-bombs from Judah Friedman in tonight's episode.
You bring up the Bushes and the Cheneys. It's really hard not to, especially what Liz Cheney is doing to the Republican Party right now.
She's not really a well person, Judah.
You can't defend what she's doing by saying
I'm not defending her. I don't think she should be in Congress. I think she should be in a hospital.
She should be in a hospital, and so should somebody else in her family. But you see, again, I want to get back to something because you brought it up, and it's to Rob's point with the DeSantis thing. So right now you have Kevin McCarthy flexing his muscles, and you have Kevin McCarthy, the head of the Republican, the minority head, screaming basically whoever will listen that if they take back control, Pelosi's gone, Omar's off the committees, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, Ben. And we all sit there and know it's not going to happen.
What do you mean? Of course, by definition, they can't, if they're not the majority party, they can't be the chairman of the committees.
No. What I'm saying is right, of course. But what I'm saying is Eric Swalwell was on the intelligence committee even when they weren't in the majority. That's what I'm saying is him basically saying these people will be kicked out. And the question has been, do you believe somebody? And I mean this, do you believe somebody like Kevin McCarthy? Can Republicans going into the midterms, and we've discussed this, can we believe that these people are actually going to keep their word? And it's so frustrating.
I can believe that I'd a hell of a lot rather have them than the Democrats. I would really like, even if they keep certain people who are not pleasant in their positions, I would like to see them running the Congress a lot. I'd like to see the Republicans running the Senate too. And there's some really, really serious improvements that can be made in saving the Constitution. The Constitution is at stake here. The Democrats do not like the Constitution. The Democrats think that the Constitution is anti-Black, anti-city, anti-ethnic. They're wrong. The Constitution is the greatest instrument struck off by the hand of man at any one time. So said Gladstone, the great English statesman, and it's still true. And the Democrats don't get it at all.
No, they don't, Rob. And is this another case of just empty? I agree with Ben. Anything, of course, we'll take that the House and the Senate. But if Kevin McCarthy, I don't think Republicans could take a concern. I don't even think there are any more Republicans, or the Trump base could take another round of apathy from their leaders. I don't think that even if we do win, and hopefully everything metric is showing, Rob, that we will win, I don't believe the base could take being lied to one more cycle.
They, you know what? If I may respectfully go back to what our good friend Rob Kendall, number one, said, I don't think we need to have them go through the committee and weed out the people who are not the ideal members of the committees. I want to see a president who stands up and says, I am sick of racism. I'm not going to turn America into a South African apartheid or Nazi Germany type state. America is for Americans of whatever color and whatever race and sex. I want to see that president, and I don't care if he's about the trivia. I want to see an American who stands up for America.
Rob, I don't disagree. And Rob, the point is that we're 10 months away from the midterms.
Yeah,
we're still almost 3 years away from the presidential election. And what scares me, Rob, is getting people in and having the same broken promises.
Well, and so this is the point, right? So in, let's just go back the past 20 years. 2002, they promised, if you give us the Senate, Bush is president. No, they lied. They grew government. 2010, they promised, give us the House, we'll stop Obamacare. They lied. They said, oh, now we need the Senate. 2014, they got the Senate. They lied. They said, oh, we need the presidency. They got it. They lied. These people, the establishment wing of the Republican Party, are pathological liars. I'm very concerned because in the Republican primary this year, unless our horrific, awful, terrible, phony Republican Senator Todd Young gets a primary challenger, which, by the way, there's a guy who's working very hard. Danny Niederberger is his name. Danny for Hoosiers is the website. He's a real conservative trying to get on the ballot. If you want to go check it out and help the guy out, I would recommend you check him out. There's nobody for me to vote for. Like, who do I vote for?
Wait a second, Rob. Are you telling me that you would like to keep a Democrat Congress?
No. He's not saying that at all. But
I'm saying in the Republican primary in Indiana, where I'm at right now.
I understand. Obviously, if you support him, I think he's fine. I think he's great. I hope he wins. But in general, I think we cannot be such a nit. It's bigger, much bigger than nits. We've got to get the Congress back, or the Constitution is going to be gone.
And the problem is, we agree with what you're saying. We don't trust the people that get in to carry out the message that Ben Stein is saying. So Ben, we all agree 100% with what you just said. None of us is here is saying, I don't even think Gary, who's sort of the on the apolitical side oftentimes, we're not saying that Republicans, but again, if Republicans get in and don't do anything, Ben, that could really hurt 2024.
I agree. But it's a chance we have to take.
It's a chance we're definitely going to take, Gary, but if they come in and all these broken promises, once again, 2024 is going to be really difficult, Gary.
Well, and it's the hearings to nowhere, right? If they get in and all we get is 4 years of hearings, Americans are going to lose their shit. I mean, we've seen this over and over and over again, and it goes nowhere. I want people in jail. I want perp walks, and I want action. That's what I want.
Wait, what was that last word?
I want a perp walk and I want action.
Walk. Yes.
That's what I want.
What is that perp walk for Biden's son?
Yeah, for that whole family. Yeah, Rob.
Ben, I have a question for you because I'll be fascinated for your answer on this. Okay. So let's say Todd Young wins his Republican primary and is the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate this year. What compelling reason is there for you keep saying, well, we can't have a Democrat Congress. What's the difference? The guy added $9 trillion to the federal deficit. He's voted for all Mitch McConnell's bullcrap, all the enhanced government programs. He voted again for the budget, again with the Democrats in charge, still, getting the lifeline. What's
still
the difference?
Better than the Democrats. Still better How? Than the Democrats. He's not going to go against the Constitution. He's not going to say that the voting rights as delineated in the Constitution are a racist plot. He's going to stand up for the Constitution. That's a big, big thing. Huge. Not just big, huge. But I'm old, my friend. To me, the Constitution is everything. It should be to you, too. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Todd Young would ever vote to gut the Constitution?
See, here's the problem with
if you think that, then I'm with you.
Ben, I know what Rob's saying, but this is what we're also saying, that it's so hard to try. Ben, you're 100% right. Just so we all agree, it's better. But the problem is it more dangerous to have a fake rhino in there that causes it? And that's to Rob's point, right, Rob? You're basically saying, is the damage that a Todd Young brings more dangerous because we had elected this Republican in? Is something like that, Rob?
Right. You can't trust the guy. Every time the Republicans are in the majority, and Todd Young is Mitch McConnell. He was bought. His election was bought and sold by Mitch McConnell. He's a yes man. He voted to fund the government again with the Democrats in charge.
To fund the government. I mean,
no, we don't.
We can't have no government. I mean, why? What are you talking about? Why? Because the society will be chaos if we don't have a government.
It already is. We might as well get our money back.
You really think it's chaos? Is it chaos where you live, Gary?
Oh, where I live, but I wouldn't want to be in Chicago or...
But that's fine. That's great. I couldn't agree with you more. And as far as I'm concerned, they should double the spending on the police force there.
You know, but Rob, I understand your point. I hope you understand Ben's point. It's better to get a Republican, and I understand what you're saying. It's very dangerous to get the wrong Republicans in, like this South Dakota guy, this South Dakota Senator Trump went after, and all these and these rhinos. They're extremely dangerous to the party. They are, but.
So that's the question: is are we saying now, because Todd Young is on his best day, mediocre, he added $9 trillion to the federal deficit, he is inflation, guys like that are the reason inflation is what it is? So are we just saying forever we have to accept mediocrity to avoid absolute calamity on their on the best day, the best we ever get is mediocre?
What would you do? I mean, what, and by the way, how did Todd Young create inflation?
Well, if you voted to add $9 trillion...
That didn't do it. It was the oil business, and that was entirely Biden.
Wait. So you're saying the Republicans, what they did over 4 years, adding $9 trillion to the federal deficit...
With the greatest respect, lucky you have me here. We weren't having terrible inflation until the oil price explosion. We were having inflation, but not terrible. It was Biden killing oil and gas that caused the inflation. That was what did it. Our inflation was miraculously low under Trump. Miraculous. Well,
but I think you would agree there is a lag period, and the $3.3 trillion the Republicans threw into the economy in 2020 and played a giant game of here catch with the printing press, that had a large...
I don't agree with it.
We needed to do...
I fully agree, 100% agree, that economic theory says you're right. It should have happened. You're right. You're totally right about that. It didn't happen. We don't know why. Where it happened when Mr. Biden put his big foot on the oil pipeline and the fracking. That's when it happened.
On mandates, because we ended up with a worker shortage and a product shortage at the same time. Then they pumped the money into the economy, even causing inflation to go higher. So
inflation is bad, but it's nothing. For the rest of society, compared with what it is in energy, there's where the real inflation is. And that's caused by Biden purposely killing hydrocarbons to please college girls at Vassar and Wellesley.
Gary, I mean, Rob, I hope that answered a little bit. And we understand what you're saying. I get the frustration. We all get the frustration.
I get the frustration all the time. I see that.
And it's being lied to and it's being manipulated. Listen, you know, as we often say, Democrats know how to racialize and infuriate parts of their community. Republicans are very well adept at getting their constituency, they're getting their constituency angry and doing nothing for them, and making promises that they're going to indict, promises that there'll be perp walks, all these promises. And you know what the one promise Kevin McCarthy should say is, we're going to change. We're actually going to do something. We're not going to promise you 46,000 hearings, because Ben, to Gary's point, I do believe if they have hearings for another 3 years.
I don't have doubt they'll stop. They'll never stop having hearings. Yeah. I mean, why not? Why shouldn't they have hearings? I mean, they can make all kinds of outrageous lies. The media is not going to catch them on it or say they're
wrong. No, but I'm saying Republicans, when they take back the House, I would get to action and not to hearings.
And what action would you have them do? I would say, one, bring back fracking. Two, open the pipeline. Three, as Gary so aptly says, let's have an end to these mandates unless they're absolutely clear cut health as necessary health wise. And that data is very up in the air.
Obviously, parents are living under the constant threat of their kids being home, you know, having to be home from school. Gary, we've spoken about on the show that people having a hard enough time taking a vacation because they don't know if there's going to be a lockdown when they get, you know, from the plane. But if you're a parent right now, I mean, Chicago's doing lockdowns, California's, I mean, you know, Washington's doing lockdowns, Gary. I don't know
Washington, D.C. is closed to public schools?
I want to say yes, but I could be wrong. How do you, Rob, I mean, Gary, these are, I mean, you got to go to the parents.
Well, and again, that throws the economy off again, because now people can't go to work, you know? So now all of a sudden unplanned kids are back at home. Someone has to stay home with them. Now someone can't go to work. Now we have, again, supply chain issues. Then bosses can't plan. Company owners can't plan. It throws everything into chaos, and they know that. That's why they love mandates. It gives them a big hard-on of power, and it completely throws everything into chaos again, and they love it.
I think they love it because they love control, period. The whole, if you look at the COVID and you look at the race issues, everything is about control. The Democrat Party is just about sucking all the freedom out of the society and clamping it right into the federal government.
All the humor. Hypocrisy, when they go on vacation, they go to Florida. I mean, do they just not even get optics? Do they not even understand how
stupid that looks? Well, Mr. Jesus Christ, that's AOC, pardon me for saying that. I beg your pardon. AOC actually said that the Republican Party is mad at her because they can't have sex with her. She actually said that.
Then she got COVID. No one wants to have sex with her.
Ben, in full disclosure, Rob did share that was a big anger issue he had with AOC. And
the thing is, I agree with Rob. She's not that hot.
No, she's
not hot at all.
No, you know what AOC's like? Remember when we were all in school when we were kids and we're all boys here? And let's be real.
When we were all boys, is that? Oh, no, okay, go ahead.
Oh, God, Ben. And when we were all young lads in school and we all were coming of age, and there was all one teacher that was, you know, beer goggle type teacher, and we didn't understand that term. So AOC is the beer goggle of the house. She's way better looking, obviously, than either Liz Cheney or Nancy Pelosi. But so what? But Rob, I want to ask you this question. You are so passionate about politics. How come you don't run? People love Rob Kendall. We've said this to you over and over. You're the only person on this panel, Rob. Ben served this country. Gary served this country. I didn't. But you could serve for both of us, Rob. And I mean this. You're so well-liked, Rob. Why not give it a shot?
Two reasons. One,
I just want one.
Okay, well, the number one reason is I feel like I'm of a greater use on the radio because I say things that no other person in our state and media will say. And it opens a lot of minds that I'm on an incredibly powerful platform, the most powerful radio station in the state of Indiana. And if I give that up to run for public office, let's say I win. Okay, so let's exercise here.
Of course you'd win.
Let's say I run and win. And if I did it, I'd probably run for governor of Indiana and win. The veto threshold in the state of Indiana is 50% plus one. Republicans have super majorities in the House and Senate. they would be able to override anything I would put forward, anything I would veto. So am I more valuable being a governor who always gets overridden and can't actually get anything done? Or am I more valuable on the most powerful media platform in the state trying to educate and mobilize people as a collective to get stuff done? That, I'm trying to be serious with this.
No, no, let Ben answer the question because there's, let's be real. Ben,
I think there's a very good point. I think he's making a very good point. Yeah. I think he's making a very, very good point.
No, and, but I'm saying answer the question though. Because he actually, I think he's looking for guidance. Remember, your slogan did help Reagan get nominated.
Get elected.
Get elected, I mean. You have the pulse on things, and Rob is a dual threat. But at the same time, could he do more better as the
governor? I would like to ask a question, yeah. Rob. Why can't you do both? Right? Ronald Reagan was a fine president and also did the radio show once a week and very well listened to. Being a governor is far from a full-time job. It's not like working in a coal mine. We have to be up at the face of the coal pit every day, hacking away at the coal. You can take 30 minutes every day and speak for a while about what's going on. And I think you'd be a very popular radio show host and governor. And on your way to the White House, which is only about 8 blocks from my home in Washington, D.C., you could come over and make sure some very good-looking women are over there.
That's it. I'm running for office, too.
But here's another major concern.
One's enough, Rob. Ben slammed your biggest concern. You have no reason right now to not run.
But I like my life now. For the first time in my life, I actually like my life. Okay, I get off at noon each day. I work with a beautiful woman. Everything is going well. Why would I screw that up?
That's fine.
We see where
don't worry about your duty to your country or your state.
Yeah, we see where your civic duty is, Jack. Good for you. Ben and Gary served enough for all of us combined. And as we are, Ben Stein, towards the end of the show, I want a bit of a history lesson on something. So pick it, please.
Pick it. Here's my history lesson. When I was a young man, there was a senator named Joe McCarthy, and he was slammed like a mother F for being an irresponsible, horrible guy for saying there were communists in the federal government. And he was just treated like dirt, and everybody mocked and humiliated him. And he just was just beaten to a pulp. And then guess what? It turned out there were a lot of communists in the government. So there you are.
Here's my question to you. Now, I'm really happy you brought that up because we're talking about the hearings to nowhere. Didn't the McCarthy hearings actually bring about certain, weren't people?
It wasn't McCarthy hearings. It was the hearings about Alger Hiss. Alger Hiss was an Ivy League guy. Not there's anything wrong with that. Who was a high official in the State Department, beloved by the beautiful people in Georgetown. And it turned out he was a Russian spy. And he passed on certain information to the Russians about the U.S. defense posture in the Far East that led to the Korean War and 50 or 60,000 Americans dying in horrific, unbelievable conditions. And I will say my wife's uncle, Robert Denman, Major Bob Denman, fought there at Chosin in some of the most horrible conditions known to man. And all started by Hiss, and Hiss is still a hero to the left wingers.
And thank you for that. And Rob, I'll go to Gary last. Question for Ben. Go for it, because Gary's always hates being put on the spot.
You put me on the spot.
I said I'm going to Rob.
Oh, good. I was like, damn it.
Ben, is there ever a movie that you were in in which you said, darn, they should have made a sequel to that, and that you wish you had been a part of?
Yeah, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. But I don't know if they can do it without, I think they could have done it. I don't see why they couldn't have made a sequel, although the fact is, no one could conceivably have written a script as good as the one John Hughes wrote. But there are some good writers out there. I think they should have written a sequel. I was not in this movie, but there was a great, great movie from the 50s called Rebel Without a Cause, and I think they should have made a sequel to that, and I would have loved to have been in that.
I got to be honest, though, and I want to think about this for a second, since Gary, I know, never thinks of questions. I love that Rob just got. But no, Ben, you know, two of our favorite movies, obviously, you with Ferris, and I sometimes think Planes, Trains was a sequel to.
In a way, it was, except that it was Ferris.
Well, most Ferrises never stay Ferrises, and they become Steve Martins. Right. And in a sense, John Candy was helping Steve Martin find his Ferris again. Just a thought.
I don't think so, because Steve Martin was pretty miserable for a large part of his wanderings with John Candy. But I have to say, when I watched that movie, I remember the days when I used to be traveling all the time. It makes my blood run cold. It's a horrible thing to be traveling in bad circumstances.
But I mean, how many Ferrises do you know that are still Ferrises? That's what I mean. I mean, most people.
Just me.
Just you?
Yeah, because you, Judah, happen to have an idea of what my life is like.
Yes, of course.
Hardly anyone else does.
Okay, Gary, I'll give you your final chance.
Oh, to ask a question? Who was your favorite person to work with?
Nixon, by far. Richard Nixon.
Really? No. Oh, in Hollywood. Hollywood. I already knew Richard Nixon.
No. In Hollywood, I would say my friend Al Burton, who invented Win Ben Stein's money. It was an incredibly, unbelievably nice guy, a wonderful, saintly guy. And close behind him, although way, way, way ahead of him in terms of income and fame, Norman Lear, the biggest name there's ever been in Hollywood comedy, and a wonderful, wonderful man. He's totally on the other side of the fence politically from me, but he will, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of character and love of country, he walks on water.
Ben, why has Ben Stein's Money never been out on DVD? Those episodes were great.
I do not know the answer to that. I do not know.
Because it's so hard sometimes, because by the time a show gets to a certain point, so many people have, nobody even knows who owns it some of the time.
Well, no, we know who owns it. Disney owns it.
Oh, there you go.
I have no idea why, and it would certainly be nice if they did it, but you know what? I had a super hit in the stock market in the last 4 weeks, and so I don't need the money right now. I might in the future, but I don't now.
You can afford your modest homes and meat.
Yes, and meat and fowl and fish.
Baruch Hashem. And on that note, we'd like to apologize to anybody for a little bit of the cursing. It's the COVID. It is every bad ill manner I have now, I blame it on COVID. Being stuck in my apartment for the better part of 10 days, isolating. It is miserable, but I'm alive. I am amongst friends. And I want to tell people out there, that's the most important thing in the world, is to be above ground and have some friends that you care about and love. And if you could have that in life, you are a truly blessed and lucky human. And I pray that on everybody that listens to The World According to Ben Stein, because I think everybody on this show has that and feels that same way. I want to thank Gary Collins from thesimplelifenow.com. And of course, Rob Kendall from 93.1 WIBC. Bam, he is the president.
Did you win your bet?
I did. I am $9 richer. Do you know how much Wendy's $9 can buy you, Ben?
Incredible. Pay for like a quarter of your COVID test once a week. And of course, from Newsmax, spectator.org, Ben Stein. And everybody, thank you for listening. We'll see you Thursday night. Ben Stein, please take us out.
We are a band of brothers and native to the soil. We give to her our blood, our toils, our torment and our toil. Hurrah, 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 and then hurrah, hurrah for the bonnie blue flag that bears the single star.
I've got to ask, what's that from?
Yeah.
That is the original song of the Confederacy before Dixie.
Oh, what a way to end on that note. Everybody, have a great night. God bless you all.
Good night.